Amen. All right, this time, Bobby Jean's going to sing for us. Amen.
A Samaritan woman, Jacob's well, for water she came, and her life was to change as she found Jesus sitting there. To her surprise, he said, "Give me drink." Being not his kind, God's grace intervened. If you knew who I was, you would ask for this living water to drink. Then she said, "Sir, give me drink, that I thirst not, nor draw from this well any more water for drink." And then he told her the things of her life, and the worship of God was in spirit and truth, and now she knew that the Christ had come. So come here, a man, is this not the Christ? For he told me all things ever I did, and living water he gave, that I thirst not again. Is this not the Christ? Oh, come here, a man, is this not the Christ? For he told me all things ever I did, and living water he gave, that I thirst not again. Is this not the Christ? There are many wells of water today, where men go to draw, to worship and pray, but they still have a thirst when they walk away. Now the Spirit of truth, God's word, lights the way, as the fullness of Christ has come in this day and takes the thirst away. So come here, a man, is this not the Christ that says to a wife, "For your cross I give a crown of life"? Is this not the Christ? Oh, come here, a man, is this not the Christ that says to a wife, "In fine linen you're dressed, now you've overcome death"? Is this not the Christ? There are many wells of water today, where men go to draw, to worship and pray, but they still have a thirst when they walk away. Now the Spirit of truth, God's word, lights the way, as the fullness of Christ has come in this day and takes the thirst away. So come here, a man, is this not the Christ that says to a wife, "For your cross I give a crown of life"? Is this not the Christ? Oh, come here, a man, is this not the Christ that says to a wife, "In fine linen you're dressed, now you've overcome death"? Is this not the Christ? So come here, a man, is this not the Christ that says to a wife, "For your cross I give a crown of life"? Is this not the Christ? Oh, come here, a man, is this not the Christ that says to a wife, "In fine linen you're dressed, now you've overcome death"? Is this not the Christ? Oh, rejoice in fine linen when dressed, for we've overcome death. Is this not the Christ? Praise you, my Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise you. All right. Thank you, Bob. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is this not the Christ? Amen. So in this hour, Christ is being made manifested in a great way. All right. Praise God. Just one moment here. Yes, praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's just bow our head in word of prayer before getting into the word today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this another privilege to come before you, Lord, to speak the word, to just be that thou would have us to be, and especially for this little while as we minister the word of God. I just pray that you will anoint us to do so, and that you would anoint the hearers, that we all may just be all that we could be for you throughout, not just while the service going on, and not just today, but throughout the remainder of our days here before the rapture. I just pray that you'll just help us to be all that we can be for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right. Always good to be in service like this, to come together and listen to the word, preach the word. And the word is the written word is very important because it's the foundation for the spoken word. Amen. We the greatest speaker that there ever was, and I take that to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He spoke the word, but the thing about his preaching, it was the simplicity of it. It wasn't complicated. He would just begin to talk about the farmer sowing seeds or the fisherman catching fish and those pulling in the net and the things of that nature that the theologian of his day, which would be the Jewish scribes, elders, and the priests, and so on, they took, this is a strange man here. Amen. But some of them said, never spike a man like this man spike, using the simplicity like sowing seed. Amen. And the gathering in of the crops and just such things like that, you would think, well, who is this fella? And what's this all about? Well, there was some that knew all about it. Amen. Because when he was speaking, it was bringing from within them that's hid within their heart, bringing it to their mentality and making it live. Amen. Then they could act out and do what the word says. Praise the Lord. He was speaking. So today, I'm just going to take a little thought. As a man thinketh, so is he. And I want to deal with our thinking. And we find in Paul's writing of the New Testament writing, he spoke more of thinking, the mind, and so on, than any other writer. Amen. And so he told us to let that mind, which were in Christ, that's when he was here, to be in us also. Amen. And that was bringing it up, bringing it to the forefront, we would say. But then our thinking, ING, that takes us on as we go along, see. Amen. And so as a man thinketh, so is he. Now, Paul, he spoke in the book of Romans, and I'm not going to try to give you extensive lesson in reading today, because we all got the Bible. It's been here all along. Amen. But there's something here also to make the Bible live. Amen. So we see Paul says that we have the mind of Christ. And he started off by saying, let this mind which was in Christ be in you. And he was talking about when he became a servant, then he became a sacrifice and all those things. That's the thinking that were in Christ. But then he moved it on up. Amen. One thing about God, everything is moving. The earth is turning and all those things. And I believe it's tonight when there's the earth come between the earth come between the moon and the sun. And it's kind of a eclipse-like. They call it the blood moon, the total lunar eclipse. See, the earth passed right between. So everything's moving. And since everything is moving, then that means also that the gospel is moving also. When something gets still, then that's when it dies. You know, if it stays still too long, you take water, running water, mountain streams, it's always fresh, you know. But you take a pool of water where it just stands still, pretty soon it gets stagnated and the different things in there, and it become unfit to drink, see. Amen. Same thing with the gospel. If it has become stagnated, it become unfit, especially for the wife of the Lamb. Amen. So what God's doing here, he's moving us on, and he's constantly bringing us up to the present time in his thinking. And if I just say, let the mind which was in Christ be in you, I'm talking about his earthly ministry as he walked around here and did certain things. But then it came into a different phase as he went into glorification. And the Holy Ghost came back on the day of Pentecost. And then as Christ came to Paul, it so changed his thinking. Amen. That he, because he was thinking that it was the will of God to put to death and to haul to prison and to persecute those that believed in Jesus Christ. That was his thinking. Amen. But the Holy Ghost began to move in him when Christ struck him down on the way of on his way to Damascus. His thinking began to change to the point that he went down into Arabia. And this is Galatians 2. And he stayed about 3 years and came back to Jerusalem. And he found that what he had weren't coinciding exactly with what the Jewish preacher was preaching there. Amen. Because he thought his thinking changed to the point that it wasn't necessary to be circumcised and that you could eat and drink what was set before you. And he began to bring in things like that. And as we follow along on his message, he began to deal much with thinking, trying to change the thinking of the way people thought about the law, the grace of God. And it was a struggle, as you can read in Galatians and also Romans and the different places in the book of Hebrews. Amen. If you've never read the book of Hebrews, if you'll read it with this thought in mind, that Paul's trying to change their thinking from the way that they were raised, their fathers were raised that way, their grandfather, for many generations before them was thinking on the things that was taught in the law and their way of living and so on. Well, here come a man with a different type thinking, and this thinking was present tense, was the mind of Christ. Amen. And it wasn't just the mind that was in Christ, it's the mind that is in Christ. Amen. When he was talking about the mind that was in Christ, he was speaking, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he went forth here and did the things that he did. And when He, after his crucifixion, resurrection, and then he came into them through the Holy Ghost, their thinking became different there. Amen. Even to the point that there shortly after the day of Pentecost, even the Jewish apostles, which held on to a lot of the law, the Jewish leaders began to persecute them, whip them, and even commanded them that they should not speak anymore in this name. Amen. And they, after being whipped and beat, and Peter, he spoke up, and they told him not to speak anymore in this name. And he said, which is it better to do, obey God or man? Amen. Judge ye. And they turned them, whipped them, turned them loose, and they came and found them preaching in the temple. Again, the same thing. Amen. Well, it went so contrary to what was thought as being the move of God, the right things of God, or the plan of God. It went so contrary to that they began to want to put them to death. And we find the first one to die for this Holy Ghost plan after the Holy Ghost came. The first one to die was Stephen. Amen. And Stephen, the reason they put him to death, he, with the wisdom of God, preached the word so much, it's in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, that the Bible says they could not resist the wisdom from which he spake. So what did they do? They began to stone him. They put him to death. But Stephen died crying there, praising the Lord. He says, and he even prayed for them. Forgive these folks. And the thing he did there, he said, I see the throne of God. I see the Father. I see the Son. And I like that, you know. Amen. I see Jesus sitting on the right hand of God. Well, the right hand there was not a literal being, even though God could have let Stephen see a literal being there in order to get him to say what he say. But the word of God, the thinking of God, began to move on till we see the Godhead clearly in this hour. Amen. And the way he spoke it and the way the early church spoke it, many of these things was a mystery. It took a revelation. Amen. But when it got totally in the carnal realm, that's where they came up with the Trinity doctrine and all those, and which produced Catholicism and then later on Protestantism. Amen. And that's the thinking of the world today, the religious world. And they think you can live any way, do any way, and still be right with the Lord. But Paul straightened that out in the book of Romans there. I was reading that today, earlier today, where that they got on the meats and drinks. And Paul says, whatever is not of faith is sin. And that's doubt. Sin is doubt, see. And he began to tell them, that which is set before you, eat, drink, ask no question. And he began to change their thinking. And he said one brother believed that he may eat meat. The other believed that don't believe in eating meat. And all. Well, Paul came in with a message. Amen. Whether you eat meat or don't eat meat. That has nothing to do with it. Said the kingdom of God. Listen to this. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now we say in Christ. Hallelujah. Because we are baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ, and the marriage is taking place, and we're the wife of the Lamb, see. Amen. And sometimes it's a question then if Christ is leading us and the Spirit of God leading us, why a preacher? Why do we need preachers? Well, a preacher's job is to take the Word of God and expound on it and take the written word and bring it up to make it a living word for us today, see. Amen. And bring it from within you up into your mentality that you can begin to act upon it, see. And that has to be by the anointing of the Holy Ghost in both the minister and the speaker. Can you say amen? And when we say Holy Ghost there, we're speaking of the Spirit of God, which manifests itself in the Holy Ghost now in the not only the Holy Ghost, but we're married and we presently have the mind of Christ. So let as a man thinketh, so is he, and let this mind which is in Christ, not which was in Christ, but which is in Christ. Amen. And that is in marriage, see. There was a time when the thinking was, as Paul preached, it was for the virgin, to call out a virgin, to separate the Jew and Gentile, to make sure and bring into being that there was no difference. Amen. When you're baptized into the body of Christ, when you become part of the wife of the Lamb, even in the virgin stage, Paul said there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Amen. Well, that was so contrary to the thinking. And even today, there's certain thinking that the Jews can't have this. Amen. Because they have to wait to a certain time and all that. Well, the mind of Christ, when you explore the mind of Christ, amen, the Word of God, there is no difference when it comes to the wife of the Lamb. And again, here's a thing where it's important to preach the Word. Now, there's many things in the Word we would not know if it weren't written in the Word. Take, for instance, the millennium. Take, for instance, as going into the day we're living in when we see the things that's happening. Amen. We know exactly what's happening, and we know exactly where it's going to wind up at. Amen. The whole thing's going to wind up in the battle of Armageddon in the day of the Lord, a few years down the road after the 70 week of Daniel. So the thinking is the minister the word, and if it was in you from the foundation of the world, as he ministered the word of God, it'll come forth in you. Amen. And it'll become a living word in you. Amen. Not only is it like a seed laying dormant, amen, but it'll come forth and blossom and begin to bring forth. I think about in the book of in the Word of God, I forgot which book, whether it was Exodus or Leviticus, some of those books there, Deuteronomy, he got in there. But when the children of Israel was coming through the wilderness, after they had built the Ark of the Covenant and got the law and so on, they were coming through the wilderness, and they began to complain against Moses and began to complain against a certain one that God has called to step out and be leaders like that, you know. Well, there becomes such a complaint among them about who was preaching the truth and who wasn't preaching the truth, we would say. Amen. So Moses just told each one of them, each a representative from each one of the 12 tribes, says, go cut you a stick, almond stick, a twig off the almond tree. Amen. Just get a dry stick. Be sure there's no leaves on it or anything. And says, put them in the Ark of the Covenant. And God's going to give a test. He's going to show it. And says, whichever one bud and bloom and produce almond overnight, says that will be the one that God had chosen, see. Amen. And so they agreed that was a good way to settle the argument, but it can only be done by the leadership of God. The next day they got the almonds, opened the Ark of the Covenant, and got the almond stick out. Amen. All of them just like they were when they put them in, except one. Amen. Overnight it has budded, bloomed, and produced almond. Amen. And we could say there was almond hulls laying all around. Amen. Because eating that almond from the almond tree, amen, that was produced, God vindicated and brought to pass who was leader to bring the word for them at that particular time. And amen, right now in this day and hour we're living in, God is producing and bringing to pass. Amen. And we're just eating almond. And you can look around and see almond hulls all around because the almond stick has budded, bloomed, produced. Amen. And the almonds are ready for eating. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we see how God does things. He takes and he makes the word live. And all the way through time, what it did to the people and for the people, they rejoiced and began to praise God, especially those that was for. Some of them went their own way anyway, and some of them rejoiced for a day or two, and then they went on as they were before, see. That's one thing about them, the children of Israel coming through the wilderness. It was a natural journey. And whatever God did, whether he fed them manna, whether he fed them quails, whether he caused water to come through out of the rock, whatever it is, it lasted and they rejoiced and they shouted, amen, for a little season. And then they began to go back into what they had in them to begin with. So it's what's in you, amen, and the preacher preached the word. If it's in you and come forth to your mentality that this is the truth, this is the way, amen, it gets in your thinking, and as a man thinketh, so is he, see. Glory to God, and let this mind which is in Christ, amen, be also in you. When we are baptized into the body, we're baptized into the mind of Christ, the word of God. And therefore, I ask the question, what's the preacher for? Amen. If the Holy Ghost leads us, and if Christ's in us, and we have the mind of Christ, why do we need a preacher to tell us what to do? Well, a preacher, he don't necessarily tell you what to do. He preaches the word, and it brings that word up to your mentality to the point, amen, where it's just made alive, it lives, and you, if you're one of them and it was in you from the beginning, you don't go back to the same old ways and doing the things of that nature. If you're the wife of the Lamb, amen, daily it adds to as you receive the fullness of the mind of Christ. Amen. These things that we believe and preach and teach, they just become easy to believe. Amen. We have talked recently, and I believe we had a message very recently on overcoming death. And that's such a strange thing to talk about. And people, because why? Because man has died all the way through time, and that was the law of sin and death. And it's still in existence to those that don't move into a greater law, see. Amen. We find that Jesus Christ, he overcame death there in the garden. Amen. And provided for us. Amen. And then he went to the cross and he died for our sin. And the Bible says he tasted death for every man. And that was, as far as the soul concerned, that was the way it was through the church ages, because they were living under the survival law. Amen. But then there's a greater law. There's a greater law than the law of sin and death. Paul, in his prophetic preaching, began to tell us about a change that would take place. Amen. And he didn't in his day. God didn't allow him to bring all the details. Amen, because God in his wisdom and his foreknowledge saw the way the church would go and what would happen and the seven church ages. Amen. You might say, you mean the Lord knew about the seven church ages before they ever started and what would happen? Absolutely. In the book of Matthew, in the 13th chapter, it speaks there of the kingdom of God. Amen. We're of the kingdom of heaven, see. Amen. But the kingdom of God many times referred to the earthly realm of Christianity or what God is doing. Yeah, the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And but the kingdom of God, Now, be sure, I'm going to be sure I say this right. It's the kingdom of heaven that we're in now, see. Amen. The kingdom, I'm talking here in the earthly realm, but the kingdom of God is that spiritual kingdom, see. Amen. In that spiritual kingdom, then there's where, now let me get this right, what the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is the earthly realm. The kingdom of God is the spiritual realm. See, and it's religious there. And Jesus began to tell about this. Now, this was many, many years before the church ages ever started. That's in the book of Matthew. There are seven parables there, and each parable coincides with a church age. Amen. That very last one, that is where you separate the wheat from the tares, the harvest and all that. And all that has taken place in our day. And each age had to adjust their thinking, amen, to the reality of what Christ was doing at that particular time, see. Amen. And now God has promised us that we which are alive and remain, amen, will not die but be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. And we find that the very thought of overcoming death, amen, is something that stunned people. But soon, and not very many years in the future here, we got to get through the 70th week of Daniel. But the rapture takes place prior to that. And Barbara and myself was talking to someone this week, and they were talking about, something was said about the millennia. Yeah, the person we asked, do you believe in the millennia? He said, I'm looking to go up, not go into the millennia. See, amen. Well, I can understand what he was saying there, but the point is, there was a secret. Amen. And Paul made known that this secret has been hid since the foundation of the world. That before this millennia start, there's a people that go up in a rapture that misses the tribulation, and then they come back with him. So we come back to live with him in the millennia. So we can have both. We can have going up and we can have the millennia. See, but he, I guess his thinking was, we're going to go up, and used to be spoke, I heard a preacher preach, and he did good on his sermon. I liked the way he preached most all the time. But he said scientists has already spotted through their strong telescope that city that's coming down. Oh, it's big and it's beautiful. And said it's gradually coming down towards the earth. And so we're right at the end time that city's going to sit down. Well, first of all, the city's already here. Amen. We're a part of that city of God. And the city of God is a spiritual kingdom. And that city of Revelation 21 and 22 represents what God has done all the way through, from Adam all the way through. The gates and the walls and all those things. Amen. And the wife of the Lamb sitting right there as the tree of life. And Brother Brown called it the bride tree, but we call it the wife of the Lamb. Amen. And the water of life flowing. All those things are laid out in the plan of God. Now, Jesus knew, he gave a parable for each one of them seven church age, just exactly how they would be. And when they came to pass, they fit exactly. But then he showed that there would come an end to the seven church age, where there would be a group that shined forth as the stars forever. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're that group. Amen. After the seven church age is over, this is the thinking. We have to have this in our thinking and not think church age thinking, not think fallen man thinking. And so I was going to read this here something. The overcoming of death for the Lamb's wife along with Adam's seed. And we brought some of that in. See, soon death will be no more. Amen. Beginning at the millennium, I'm talking year, first of all, for the wife of the Lamb, that's one of the new laws. See, the law of sin, death, pointed unto man once to die after this judgment. But then that was a secret. God, it was already in the thinking of Christ. Amen. That there would be a group of people that wouldn't die, we which are alive and remain till his coming. And that coming took place in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. It's been quite some time since it took place. And then we're here, and we're here in the thinking. Our thinking has to be different, that Christ, that not only did Christ come, but he married the wife, and we on the earth become the physical body of Christ in the earth, or maybe I should say visible, because someone said one time, I said mortal, they said mortal means they're going to die. Well, I don't know of that, but so I substitute and say spiritual, physical body, you see. That's the glorified body as we walk forward. Amen. It's visible. Amen. And those souls that's in heaven, that's spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 1, if this earthly tabernacle were to be dissolved, pass away, said we have a building of God already in the heaven. That's the soul. That's the spirit. And that's the very form of the person that will be here on earth. Amen. All physical ailments gone, all sins gone, and all that. So our thinking has to begin, and that's why we preach certain things that we preach. Amen. If it's in you, some people just can't fathom, and it's so fearful to even think of dying. Well, there's a message that says you don't have to die if you're the wife of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So get in our thinking. Let our thinking be changed to fit the time that we're living in. We are living in a time when the wife of Christ, amen, or the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ is here on earth, and we're in a time when we are Christ the wife. When Christ came into Jesus, he became Jesus the Christ. Amen. And when the feminine part of that spirit comes into a people in the earth, amen, then we become Christ, the wife in the earth, a physical group of people that's walking around here, amen, and part of the very Godhead, because we're part of that Word that was with the Father in the beginning. Now, this is Paul's writing. Amen. Amen. Get some of this water here. Amen. The thing is, see, Paul's writing began to program a people. And to show you this, and I've showed it before, but to bring in this point, I don't have to dwell on it much. But Galatians chapter 2 shows that Paul, by revelation, went up to Jerusalem. Amen. First of all, he was stayed 3 years down in Arabia, there in the city of Petra, there, amen, and they had caves, and the mountain they lived in. So Paul came back with a message, and that message was so strange that as he began to preach it, there was Peter, James, and John, and probably the other disciples, other apostles there. That's Galatians chapter 2:6-9. When Paul began to preach, amen, Paul said, they added nothing to me, but contrarywise. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me as the gospel of the circumcision with Peter, they gave Paul the right hand of fellowship. Amen. When they perceived, they received something. But first, watch, they had to hear something. Amen. Then as they heard, the Holy Spirit within them began to bring to their mentality the truths of what Paul was saying. And Paul laid it out so plain there, amen, that the Gentiles were also to be part of the kingdom of God, see. Amen. The plan of God. and those that was of the Jewish realm, if they believed this gospel that Paul preached, that the law, they were not under the law and so on, they would be part of it too. So Paul called out a group that's both Jew and Gentile. So the apostles there, they began to say, they called Paul, said they saw what he was saying. So they sent him and Barnabas to go to the heathen. Now the heathen here is this, not just the Gentiles, but Jews who did not believe in the circumcision, the eating of certain meats and so on like that, that saw the truth of the New Testament. And of course you get that, a lot of that, in the book of Romans, say like starting 12th chapter, 12, 13, 14 through there. Amen. How Paul laid that out so clear and so plain. Amen. That what you eat or drink has nothing to do with it. He said, but if you got a brother there that so strongly believe, and of course they don't, not among us anymore like that, that eating meat is a sin, says avoid eating the meat. Amen. And don't take your liberty and offend a weaker brother, showing that those that didn't eat meat, they weren't stronger, but Paul called them weaker. See, because their faith. Amen. And that's when he said, let us do all these things by faith, because whatsoever not of faith is sin. In other words, if you are so convinced in your heart that eating swine meat is a sin, then, hey, eat the chicken or beef or something like that. Amen. Send the bacon my way because I love it. See? Amen. Well, the thinking, but here's a message in this hour. It's a total secret, see. The church world just couldn't come on with this. This is a total secret. Amen. But there's a mentality that's beginning to formulate in the wife of the Lamb, that more and more her faith is not to go to the grave, but go up in a rapture. Hallelujah. To be glorified in this present day. Amen. And then last week, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, we brought in about the 144,000, as we've heard it preached before. Amen. The message they preach, they bring a people to the prepare people to enter into the millennia. And at the millennia there, the devil's bound, the curse is lifted. Amen. And in the millennia, there is no death, except for the very rare cases where people just want to go and do the things of the devil at all, in spite of what they're being taught, see. Amen. There will be a few that died during the millennium. But when it comes to the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennium. Now watch this. At the end of the millennium, those that go into eternity as natural, physical being, amen, there is never, ever any death to them. Some of the people living right now in the natural, physical person will never die. They'll go into the millennia and on through the millennia and on into on into eternity, amen. Because at eternity, the devil's loose at the beginning of the millennia, at the end of the millennia, and death and hell is there together. And the devil began to deceive, and he deceived a large number, amen. But those that stand true to the word, amen, they will go right on into the eternal, into eternity as natural people. But now what will happen to the devil and death? The Bible says death and hell, this is Revelation 20, chapter 20, will be cast in the lake of fire. And not only the devil's cast in the lake of fire, but death is too, see. Death and hell is cast in the lake of fire. And then there's no such thing as death. See, now what's this year begin to change our thinking to think that way. Amen. And that's why when the 144,000 go forth to preach, they don't say repent of your sins and get baptized or any of those things. Amen. But they say fear God, give glory to him. Don't bow down to the beast. Don't take the mark. Stand for God. Amen. And those that do and are faithful to the message they preach, amen, will go right on into the millennia as natural people, never dying. Amen. So we begin to preach now about the wife of the Lamb not dying, overcoming death. Well, a lot of people, they get to the place where they get scared of what you're preaching, see? Amen. Because their thinking is so different. They never did move their thinking up to the present day thinking. Amen. That God is put into the wife of the Lamb, see? Hallelujah. That she'll be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye, that she's right now taking on the change. Glory to God. As those saints that went before us, that part of the wife of the Lamb has come back, they're taking on glorified flesh and bone by the same message, see? Amen. And so we think about what Paul preached. It was good. Amen. And what the others preached were good. But here's a message that they're hearing now. Say, yes, this is what it took to cap all this off. Amen. Our thinking has to be brought up into this. Now, if we are in a service and hear the preacher preach, and it brings all this out so clear, and while the preacher's preaching, yes, I can see that. I can believe that. But as they go forth out from the meeting and into their daily lives, the things they must do, then they kind of lose that. See, because of hearing what's said outside. But if it's in them to begin with, if they were part of that word to begin with, a special part of that special word that Jesus created, amen, they're becoming bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and they have the very mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You have the mind of Christ, see. Amen. And you think like he does because you are the feminine part of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Representing the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ in his absence. Hallelujah. Praise God. In other words, the queen, the king had business. Where he's at now, he's got to see over other things. So right here in this earth, we reach the fullness and we speak for him. We have his very mind. Glory to God. That's why certain things have come out in recent time, like the masculine and feminine part of Christ, like the two thems, amen, and like the seed of Adam, overcoming death, without getting a glorified body. They go right on into the millennia and on into eternal life. Now, since I brought that in, I'll bring this in so there won't be a question in your mind. How about those tribulation saints that's killed and all those things? Amen. They'll be resurrected from the dead. Amen. There when Jesus, when our King Jesus and we come back to this earth, they'll be resurrected. And they'll be given white robes or clothed with white robes, whichever, however that works there. In that, there's no literal white robes, see. But the point is, it'll be that type of righteousness they had. They'll have a place to serve, and there'll be kings and priests and all those things around the world. There'll be that spiritual force to back up the natural people. Amen. Where everything will be perfect plus perfect plus perfect. Amen. Throughout eternity, while the wife of the Lamb is right there besides her husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that'll be the tree of life, and the water of life flows right through. And she is a member of the Godhead, see. And we got to think that way. Amen. And Paul was one of the writers of the New Testament that talked about our thinking and over and over. And we could read several scriptures today that relate. In fact, is I got some of them, read some of them out, but I'm just not going to try to go over them with you today, because most of you that hearing this message, most of you that stayed with us up to this point, you already know it, see. And you already know that the spoken word, amen, is sometimes something that we need that is beyond the written word. Hallelujah. The written word said it'd be here. But Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews in the 4th chapter that the word of God is quick and powerful. Now, he's not talking about the Bible so much. Quick and powerful. Amen. And it's a discerner of the thought. It can even go between the joints and the mark. In other words, it goes so within you. Amen. It's the spoken word for this hour that gets the job done, and it's beyond the written word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the water. So these are things we change our thinking. We think this way. And if any thought come contrary, you know what the Bible says? Paul gave us this instruction, so I'll repeat it in this. Casting down imagination and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. See, the knowledge of God is written here and preached here. And if something begin to exalt itself above that, then cast it down. Hallelujah. We're keepers. Someone said our mind is a gate to our soul. Well, we're the gatekeepers. We don't let certain thoughts come in that will exalt themselves. Amen. And so we know where we're at. And within ourselves, Paul said, don't think yourself to be greater and so on like that, but think soberly and so forth. Amen. Be greater than a brother or sister, someone, just because God gives some a revelation. Amen. A greater revelation in some point, but this other person get a revelation that you hadn't quite got. But when it all come together, you know it because it's already within you. Amen. This preaching, the bringing of the word, is to bring to your mind. And one scripture says to your remembrance. And sometimes that remembrance go all the way back before the foundation of the world, when we were there as part of God's word. Amen. Bring to us, where did that come from? Sometimes you'll say something, where did that come from? A thought will come up to your mind, where did that come from? Amen. Well, it's a righteous thought, and it was in you all along. It just filtered its way up into your mentality, and then you begin to speak it. Hallelujah. You begin to rejoice in it. So that's what the preacher does. Amen. Bring it up, and you begin to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. So the overcoming of death is going to be a given. Amen. Death will be such a strange language. It'll be as strange to them in the millennium as it is to us. We talk about overcoming death. See? Amen. But death will soon be no more. Amen. Let's begin to program our mentality. And starting with ourselves. Amen. Because the wife of the Lamb is the first to overcome. She goes up. She comes back. Amen. Then those that did go to the grave. Amen. They'll come forth. Amen. Then go into that millennia. Amen. Death has to take a back seat. Hallelujah. Bound just like the devil. And it can only, those can only die that would constantly disobey God. A sinner died 100, it says there in Isaiah 65, I believe 60. Amen. That would be like a little 10-year-old now, something like that. Amen. If they won't get their acts straightened out by listening and watching what's going on around. If they just want to do like some today, contrary. Amen. Just like I'm not going to get into all that because you can see it. Like you see a man, we saw one there with part of his hair on one side pink, and wasn't it blue on the other side or something? and all kind of stuff hanging on. See, that will be in the millennia. Tattoos all over them, so on like that. Well, I'm not going to get in that because that's that we already come out. We're so high above that in the sense of revelation and glorification. But just to show you those things of the world, they're not part of this. Amen. So we just praise God for the word this morning. What's your thinking today? Think about these things. And if thoughts start coming contrary, then cast them down. Amen. So that's, the minister is here to bring these things to your remembrance, but the minister can't put them in your heart. It had to be there, ordained of God from the foundation of the world. And what the minister does, just speak them, and it's quickened to you. Amen. And it come forth. And many times when there is no preacher around, it comes forth anyway in a glorified way and just calls you to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you this morning for your word and for how you're leading and guiding. And Lord, may each one of us have the prayer, have the mind of Christ. And anything come that would be contrary, may, Lord, we be reminded to cast it down because it's contrary to the word. And I just pray, God, that you'll take this word now and just use it. And may we all realize that we can't lose these things that are in us, but the cares of the world sometimes can begin to choke out some of these things and that they're not as affected as otherwise they could be. So I just pray that you'll help us to do thy will and be careful. As the message said last week, Lord, we belong to you. We're the messenger. This body belongs to you, and we can't abuse it. We must live to the honor of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. You have one this morning, Pastor? Amen. We just praise the Lord and thank the Lord for his, for all the good things that he constantly does for us. Praise God. Amen. All right. Barbara's going to sing one as we close out here today. Amen. All right.
Praise the Lord. It's a time like no other time before, and we're shining forth as the stars forevermore. We're at a point which is clearly seen, a defining moment manifested in you and me. It's a defining moment, hear the trumpet sound. A great jubilee with the wise saints all around. And it's clearly seen, a defining moment manifested in you and me. Oh, it's a defining moment, hear the trumpet sound. A great jubilee with the wise saints all around. And it's clearly seen, a defining moment manifested in you and me. Now the glorified flesh and bones is emphasized, made from the Lord's very own. We're at a point which is clearly seen, a defining moment manifested in you and me. It's a defining moment, hear the trumpet sound. A great jubilee with the wise saints all around. And it's clearly seen, a defining moment manifested in you and me. It's a time like no other time before, and we're shining forth as the stars forevermore. We're at a point which is clearly seen, a defining moment manifested in you and me. Oh, it's a defining moment. Hear the trumpet sound. A great jubilee with the wives, saints all around. And it's clearly seen, a defining moment manifested in you and me. Now the glorified flesh and bones is emphasized, made from the Lord's very own. We're at a point which is clearly seen, a defining moment manifested in you and me. It's a defining moment, hear the trumpet sound. A great jubilee with the wives, saints all around. And it's clearly seen, a defining moment manifested in you and me. Oh, it's a defining moment, hear the trumpet sound. A great jubilee with the wives, saints all around. And it's clearly seen, a defining moment manifested in you and me. And it's clearly seen, it's a defining moment manifested in you and me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. All right. It certainly is a defining moment. Appreciate that song. Amen. And the message is at a time. It's a defining message.
Amen.
Amen. And our thinking, some people out here in the world, yes, they're going to think that you are insane, but that's what it was in Pentecost, common healing. I remember a man came to Gainesville. They got him to come to Gainesville over here. And he had one of his eyes. He couldn't see out of one of his eyes. And so the Spirit came upon one of the minister there and says, God give you back your sight. Well, he had a glass eye. And the Lord gave him back his sight in that eye. Amen. And not the glass eye. He'd take the glass eye out and he could, they'd cover the eye up and just fix it where that they couldn't see out of the good eye, and he could read your social security number or whatever, and right through that place, God gave back the sight, but he didn't give him a new eye, see? Amen. So I tell you, God's a great God. Amen. He can do what he wanted. The prophecy said he'd give back the sight. And so that took place there. And we just praise God for it. Amen. You have anything?
No, I was just thinking something while you said that. But
I tell you what. Amen. So there's other things can take place. God can give back a heart, can't he? Amen. It says, brother, a fleshly heart in, take the old stony heart out. Amen. So God can do many, many things. Amen. And we believe God. We're walking with him and we praise him. And God is love and we appreciate that. And we see the love of God. But we also, knowing that God being a God of love, he's a God of correction. And there's a situation got to be corrected in this world. And I'm not going to go into those now. We have some of that on a message called 30 Dreadful Days for the Earth Dwellers, I believe. And so it goes through some of the things going to take place in tribulation, day of the Lord. But here we are rejoicing in the Lord. And that's what the last thing For the wife of the Lamb rejoice, be exceedingly glad, and clothed in fine linen, for the marriage has taken place, and here we are today. We praise God for it. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service today, and I pray that you will just take and use this message for your glory, and we'll be so careful to praise you for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen.